You are now listening to the Voice of San Diego Podcast Network. For more information, visit voiceofsandiego.org/podcasts.
And thanks for listening to the Kept Faith Podcast. I'm Nick McCann. I'm joined by Travis Russell.
Go Padres.
Yeah, you had it. You've been
I'm exhausted, Nick. Yeah, it's hard to say go Padres right now. You can actually hear my slight hoarseness. I'm hearing it back to myself now in my headphones. And yeah, I'm exhausted. The last two games were emotionally and physically exhausting.
Yeah. Well, join with us on the line. Dallas is also emotionally exhausted. He went to the mountains. So
to get away.
From the mountains, calling in from the mountain, from Palomar, Dallas on the hockey line. What's up?
First time, long time. That's my catchphrase now.
Cool.
Now?
I'm not in the Palomar Mountains. No, I'm in the mountains of Wildomar.
Oh.
Yeah, sorry. It's all horse ranches. We're at a horse ranch.
Cool.
We're buying a horse.
Really?
No.
Well, hey, if you guys haven't checked out on our podcast feed, Dallas started a side piece. Is that what you
call it? Side piece.
he lives really close to the Lake Elsinore storm, so he started a Lake Elsinore podcast. So he's going to be covering the storm throughout the summer. How's that going?
It's good. Going really well. Some kids are going to open this door right now and get really loud, and I have no idea what's happening.
All right. Well,
Hold on a second. I literally don't know what's happening right now.
Let's introduce our guest.
You might want to wait for a sec.
A professional radio producer.
What is going on? Why are you in the car? Who did?
Ollie.
Why? What are you talking about? Who's leaving?
Should...
What? Hello?
All right. We'll call you back.
I'll call you back.
We're keeping all
despite
of that.
Despite our best efforts. Dallas, yes.
Yes. Once that's out of the way. hi, thanks for coming on. Paul Reindel from the Mighty 1090.
Yeah, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
Thanks for coming on.
Go so, Chihuahuas.
Yeah. Yes, right?
So, Paul, you're the producer of the Ben and Wood Show. Starts at 6 a.m. every day.
Every.
How are you doing?
Single day.
Yeah.
Man, it's rough.
Well, I was going to say, schedule, I thought your life would be so much better, but it's just the hours.
The hours. It doesn't matter who you're working with.
it doesn't? It doesn't matter?
Well, that's for peace of mind.
Not at 4 in the morning, it doesn't.
Right? Yeah. But when that alarm's going off at like 3 o'clock, it really doesn't make that much of a difference. You're just like, oh, my life.
Yeah,
life
so
sucks.
So before the Ben and Wood Show, you were the producer of the Dan Cilio Show on the Mighty 1090. The question everybody...
yeah, exactly.
Mighty, yeah.
It's like that team that used to be in San Diego. Who's that?
So the question everybody wants to know is, when does your book come out? And can we get an exclusive interview?
I was going to say, I felt driving over. I felt like this was going to be like... Is Anderson Cooper coming in anytime soon?
Yeah, yeah.
The exclusive.
We're asking the tough questions.
Right.
Yes.
Well, hang on. I'm actually just sitting here contacting my 30,000 new followers on Twitter.
Yeah. Ooh, hey.
Ooh.
Jeez.
Yeah. I don't even know.
That's a good one.
Is it that easy to buy followers?
I haven't even looked into it. We were talking about that yesterday. I imagine there's a way where you just go online. I don't know how much it costs.
Okay. Yeah. And I don't want to get off on a tangent here, but yes, here's the deal. The other day, I was so mad, and I'm not going to get political. That's not what this is about. But our president said something that finally frustrated me enough to tweet back at him, which I have never done before in my life, tweeted back at the president. And my reply blew up, the biggest I've ever had. And I started reading through all the responses and stuff, and none of them are real human beings.
Yeah,
they're AI that can read a tweet, understand it enough, and then formulate a reply based on whatever kind. So much of Twitter is not real people. So that's easy. You can easily buy followers.
I remember I was talking with Craig Elson several months ago, and he was telling me he read this article, and I went and found it. It was called something along the lines of The Science of Donald Trump's Tweets.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like what he tweets. It was about the science of getting to the top of the replies.
Right.
Right, right. No, I think there is a definite
And there's
strategy.
A total science. I mean, these people are like, I have notifications set.
Well, yeah, and they set computer responses to like learn it and then redo it without any human interaction.
Because if you go to whatever he tweeted last, just go to it, and then the first few replies, not the comments following them, but the first few replies, they're going to have like 20,000 comments and likes and retweets.
It's pretty gnarly. So, yes, to answer the long way to answer your question, it's Twitter, I think, besides like our small little communities, is mostly artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Well, I think if Dan Cilio is buying followers, it doesn't really matter. The point is that he wants to look bigger than he is because he's getting his ass kicked by the Ben and Wood show, which is great, man. Everybody's really enjoying it, and it feels very San Diego, even though I guess Woods isn't exactly from here, but he feels authentic. He's been here long enough. He knows it just feels. Like it feels like those guys are one of us.
Sure.
In a way.
And they're fans.
It's translating, I think.
They're fans at the end of the day. Yeah. We're all fans. We have jobs to do and we're going to do them. But I mean, at the end of the day, we're fans. And I think, you talk about Woods, I think he's been here about 8 years.
Yeah.
And I've been here close to 10 years. So I'm not that much far behind him, but I've adopted San Diego. I was a Chargers fan. I am a Padres fan. Like I'm enthralled with the community. You want to talk about previous morning host, the Mighty 1090, who may have been there for about 3 or 4 years. No desire to get in touch with the community whatsoever. Huh. Like, no idea what the pulse and the temperature of the San Diego community was.
We had so many people. We had, Gennaro, who's at 1090 at the time, you and Darren was on. And so much of the conversation last year was about what 1090 should cover. Are there these phantom Chargers fans, or is this going to be a hard thing to do because the Chargers didn't go that far? There was a real uncertainty involved, but I wake up every day and, on my way to work, I listen to you guys and I can expect to hear Padres talk. Like you guys are going to break down the game that happened or whatever transaction happened or anything that comes up. It's like, it's very comforting to know that that's just going to be there. And you guys are interacting with people on Twitter. It feels very homegrown in a way.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The Twitter reaction's been great. I mean, God, the 2 days after we added the @BendenWoods account, we had 800, 900 followers.
Yeah,
it all went together really well. People are engaging. Look, San Diego sports is what it is right now. Yeah. I mean, we got one team, and it's the goals ended, and they don't push the needle anyways. You know the Aztecs, is not a whole lot going on right there. I mean, actually, this week there was a nice story written about them.
Right.
But you know what I'm saying? We got the one team, and so why wouldn't we talk about them? Why wouldn't they be the first story of the day, no matter what happened? It's been great. The Chargers. We'll go weeks without even mentioning their names. And if we do, it's in a satirical way.
Yeah. Well, I think what's really unique about Ben and Woods is that even, Ben's done a few podcasts, but a couple of years ago, but he has such a crazy schedule. But like Woods.
Yeah, you talk about me being tired?
Yeah, I know.
I don't know how he functions.
Yeah. But like Woods did a bunch of podcasts between his last radio job and this, or, that period. Yep. And I feel like it was a really smart thing to do to get before getting into sports talk because it allowed listeners to really listen to him on a long form format and you could really get an idea of a lot more depth. So when you're listening to him on a short segment, you kind of know what he thinks. I just think it adds depth as a performer.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, full disclosure, I didn't really know Woods up until, I don't know, the end of March, like the Friday before he came in on Tuesday kind of thing. We had followed each other on Twitter. And
then he died.
And then he died this week.
Yeah, such a short friendship.
Yeah, at least his radio crew did.
Yeah.
But no, I'd heard him on I'd heard him do a couple other podcasts. I'd heard him on with like Dave and Jeff a couple of times. And we would go back and forth. We'd like direct message each other a little bit. But that was about it. But I felt like I knew the guy when I met him for the first time on that Monday. We launched the show on Tuesday. felt like I knew him a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, you don't get that necessarily unless you regularly listen, I think, to any like terrestrial like talk show. You know, anybody that listens to Darren Smith from 12 to 3 for 3 weeks straight, call it, they're going to feel like they know Darren pretty well.
Yeah. Well, I think Darren's been good about doing long form podcasts recently a lot, you know?
Sure.
So that like,
yep.
I think that endears people to him more.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. Right. I mean, you have to, and it's 2018, you have to be able to dip into a little bit of both here if you're doing radio.
Well, yeah. So, you know, as the summer goes on and, you know, the Padres might be falling apart, they might not have ever formed.
Yeah, it was like, I don't think there's much to fall apart.
So, Travis, you went to the last two games.
I did.
The vibe at the park is dark.
When I walked in on Monday, I was shocked, and I've been to a lot of Padre-Dodger games in San Diego, and it was different. I felt alone. Like, there was usually kind of a balance, but it was all Dodger fans. And then the crowd with the – and I know that I'm the advocate for bringing back the brown or whatever, but it's way more than just the brown to me. It's like the – you can't tell the teams apart at Petco, and it feels so weird.
Yeah.
And then on Monday, the way that the team played defensively was just – it was like alternate universe, like,
yeah,
like I thought I was, did I take a bad pill or something? Like, I could not figure out what was going on.
Yeah, the Perella drop really,
but
really
but it started with the Villanueva Ole play, you know, yeah. Where he's that, I feel like that 3-run home game was the worst thing that could have ever happened to him. Because
Travis, they beat the Giants 3 out of 4.
Things are changing. And that's what it was so exciting about that Monday game. And it was just so bizarre. I was like, this is not the team I watched all weekend. I don't know. I don't know what to say. They just feel completely undisciplined. Like, did they really have 20 strikeouts last night, or was Green just being flippant?
No, 20.
That's
20 out of 20. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the Monday night game, I think they had.
Like, Alex Wood had 7 of them. And then
they had like 7 errors or something. Insane. Like, that is, I've never seen 7 errors in a baseball game.
Yeah.
So I don't know. They don't seem like they're lacking confidence. It just feels like they're lacking discipline.
To me, it looks like just the starting pitching is just, every day I get upset when I look at the starter who they're throwing out there. Like, I hate this person. Kind of.
But if you look at like.
Except for Perdomo, because he throws at people. Right. But, you know.
But who they faced on Monday, I forget who it was, and then Wood was last night. I mean, yes, he's a good pitcher, but he's been not good this year at all.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's not that we're going up against amazing pitching either. So
bats are just. Yeah, we avoided Kershaw.
And I have a new theory, and I'm not going against, like, sabermetrics or whatever, but what it's looking like to me in baseball, and if you look at Stanton and New York and whatever, like, the launch angle has just gotten too much in the guys' heads, and, like, contact is dead.
Hmm.
No one makes contact anymore. It's just strikeouts or these deep fly balls. I don't know. It's just, I think everyone's getting up there and trying to get their launch angle right. I'm like, make contact first. You know, get it so that your swing is making contact with the ball, and then worry about how you're swinging. You know what I mean? Like, we're not making contact. Our at-bats, especially Renfro's, was like,
oh, yeah.
I think he saw 6 pitches and sat down twice.
Those 2 at-bats that he had where he just, it was 6 pitches.
Brutal.
And,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
with one out and bases loaded in the 10th, like, you got, it's so easy to score that run in theory.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about the launch angle. That's just the way guys are coming up these days. They're coming up thinking home run or bust.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have 3 stats that matter: strikeouts, walks, and home runs. I mean, yeah. it's just a different game. I mean, I looked back at 10 to 15 years ago. You know, it's not really a millennial thing, but it's just this current wave of pitchers, you know, they're the travel ball era.
Right.
Guys that were born, call it, I don't know, between the mid-80s to mid-90s.
Yeah.
The travel ball era. So these kids are pitching, you know, and I coached high school baseball for 5 years. So these kids, they're on 3 teams at once.
Yeah.
You know, I got a kid saying, hey, I can't make it to Saturday's workout because I got a travel ball tournament in Arizona. You know, they got 3. I'm like, no, it's high school season. This is your team.
Yeah.
Your travel ball coach, if you need to throw a bullpen, you ask me. You don't ask him if you can pitch for the high school tomorrow.
Right.
You know, and so these kids, I think their arms are just getting completely overused compared to, you know, guys 20, 30 years
totally.
Ago. And so that was like the whole Tommy John, blow up that we had.
Right.
Now it's launch angle. And we're telling kids, you know, you used to tell them line drive. You want to hit it right back at the pitcher on a line,
right,
and then the home runs will come. No, now they're just swinging out of their ass.
Right. Just getting that – and, like, Renfro last night, his back foot is just like he's riding a bull with his nuts tied. It is unbelievable how that back leg is just flipping around like
he has no
control over it.
He's going to – You guys have had Ron Fowler on the radio. I think we had it might have been on somebody else's podcast, but we were talking about who's the first player that's going to make him erupt. I think Renfro is number one. I mean, Renfro is some of his at bats are so upsetting.
Yeah.
And if I viewed him as my property, like I think Ron might. I don't know.
Renfro's tough, man. I mean, let me ask you. Is he here in 2 years?
I don't think so.
Is he a Padre in 2 years?
No, I think he's something that we're going to try to deal for another prospect down the road.
Just the second he gets hot and try to move him. I mean, it's tough. He's got so much raw power, raw talent. I mean, he's got a cannon for an arm. He just throws it into the crowd, you know, from right field. We obviously know the power's there.
Yeah.
But then you see those at bats.
And he's actually got some speed in the outfield, too. In fact, he's got so much speed, he doesn't know what to do with it. Right after the Ole play on Monday night, there was a line drive. I think it was Kemp. Oh, gosh. We can get into that. But he misjudged it and came running in on the ball, and the next thing you know is over his head.
Right.
Yeah.
He couldn't recover.
I mean, the glass half full in me wants me to think, you know, maybe Matt Stairs will change him, even though Matt Stairs, who seems like an all-around good guy, is probably just going to be on a long list of – another name on a long list of hitting coaches. You know, I want to think, oh, maybe he'll change it. We heard all spring that Austin Hedges had turned the corner.
Yeah.
Well,
okay, but how'd that work out? You tracked – I mean, we all kind of followed his career. He was around, Matt Stairs. Mm-hmm. At any point, did you ever think Matt Stairs, teacher?
No.
No. I mean, not what is he – I don't – maybe he's brought in – is he like an expert on launch angle? I don't even – he's going to be
gone. No, in fact, he understands it. He was on – did you guys have him on an interview the other day, maybe?
No.
Not maybe your show, but on 10 – I don't know. I heard a clip of him talking about – and he's not totally into the current methods. He knows about them. He's aware of them, but he's much more – hit a line drive at the pitcher, and it'll do good things for you.
Sure.
Yeah, I wonder – you know, it seems like if they keep getting worse and they keep losing, people are going to start looking at Andy Green. I think you already are, Travis.
Well, and that's the thing. I've been a big – I'm like, I like Andy Green's style. I like the way he's doing it, but I feel like he's not a disciplinarian. And I don't – people don't say that baseball coaches should be that, but when guys are not disciplined, someone has to set that tone of like, you're not being disciplined. Your head's not in the game. And we have three errors in an inning that we're all – easy makeable plays, and we have a guy dropping and swinging or staring at two of three pitches. It's not how you play baseball. Baseball is like for those who get focused and get their head in the game and who can keep their attention going through all those low points where there's no action. That's the hard part of baseball, and they don't seem to be anywhere near disciplined enough as a team.
That's tough. I mean, we talked about over the last couple of weeks, when's Andy going to come in? And I think Woods kept using the phrase, when's he going to come in and start flipping tables? You know what I mean? When's he going to light a fire under these guys?
But, well, I thought you meant on your show.
Right. Just come in. Right. Well, he's got to show up to work first.
Yeah.
But then the counterpoint to that is,
what's the point?
What's he going to do?
Yeah.
What is that going to do? I mean, you got to look at who's on the roster and then go, oh,
well,
that's right.
And that's the thing is, like, I understand there's no reason to light a fire, but there is if you have the young team and you're acting like my job's secure for at least two more years until this pans out, he doesn't need to light a fire or inspire them. They need, like, discipline, like a dog with a lot of talent that you want to teach to go
fetch.
We get
it. You think Andy Green is soft. We get it.
He's not soft anymore.
I mean, he comes across as not soft, and the way that he responds to media questions doesn't sound soft. But then you watch that way that his guys are playing right now, and it's like,
no, Perdomo threw at Arenado. That makes Andy Green less soft.
Right. Oh, right.
No,
right.
I'll say this. I listened, every morning. One of the first things I do is obviously check the Padres, get the highlights from the night before.
Refresh the TKF podcast account.
Of course.
Yes,
of course.
It's never there.
And then I check Andy's post game. It's usually 4 to 6 minutes, somewhere in there. And, he gives a lot of just very vanilla, generic answers.
Right.
He's very baseball savvy. I mean, he could answer something in about 10 seconds. He'll go for 2.5 minutes throwing out all these just hardcore baseball terminology. Like, all right, that does nothing for me on radio.
It's like those corporate guys that always are talking, you know, ROI and all
those
terms.
Come on, Andy, layman's terms. Let's go.
Exactly.
But I noticed today, and I even talked about it with Ben before we went on the air, I was like, he wasn't angry, and this was after, you know, a 12th inning pretty tough loss. But you could hear something in his voice. It sounded a little different to me when he was like, you know, we did some good things, but at the end of the day, like, we have got to get that last run across. You got to get that last knock, is what he said.
Yeah.
And
he
was just kind of like, kind of turning a bit of a direction. At least that was just my opinion. Again, I'm delirious.
I mean,
at
the end, he gave a positive.
It
was positive than negative.
Right.
It was like we have to win. Yeah. Right. Not just we're learning, but now it's time to start winning.
Yeah. We did a bit this morning where Ben had ranked 6 of the most brutal losses of the season this year. The Padres have lost 12 games, and we have a list of 6 heartbreaking losses where you're just like, damn, like, you got, guys, we got to finish these games.
I was at 3 of them. Opening day, Monday and Tuesday, all those games were just dark.
We had yesterday's game was on there, Ryan Braun's home run, pop-up in Houston, and there's a couple others. But it's just like, look, I'd be fine. Careful to say that, but I'd be okay with them getting blown out most games, because you're like, hey, you know what? This season, we knew what it was.
Right.
Young guys, we're looking down the road. But, man, day after day, when you're in it and you're losing these one-run ball games and you can't close it out in the bottom of the ninth or in extras, it's going to be a long season. Yeah. We're only 3 weeks into April.
I'm just hoping that, like, this is the crucible of a championship. You know what I mean? Like, we have to go through this kind of pain, because then it will be so sweet when we win. But right now, it just feels like the last two games were close to unbearable.
Well, it's easy to feel that way because you look at, in this sport, you have the Cubs and the Astros and the way they did it. And then the NBA playoffs are happening. You're watching what Philly's doing. I mean, there does seem to be a trend in sports where, at least in the leagues that are structured this way, that if you bottom out and if it gets as bad as it can possibly get for a while, everything's going to work out. I'm worried we're the team that it doesn't work out. Yeah. Like,
that would make sense.
We get to 83 games. We win 83 games, and then we're back to selling. We need to develop the farm system again.
Yeah,
you know that
a Tommy John surgery and a fire sale away.
It can't work out for everybody. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. I don't know. I totally get that, and I kind of fall into the whole, that'd be the Padres way to do it.
Like, so when you look at like a season like this where it's not starting off great and that could get worse and more bleak, like, as a producer, what are you looking at this summer to fill time? I mean, at a certain point, maybe the Padres
Lake Elsinore.
Just have Matt Fryers on all the time. But,
well, honestly, I mean, that's we have talked with Matt Fryers.
I heard. Oh,
we've
had
Kevin on once.
Sure.
We're gonna have him on probably every couple weeks. And you know, there's talk like, hey, should we do like a weekly thing with them? It doesn't have to be like a huge 20-minute segment, but you know, 5 or 6 minutes once a week, why not? And I, and even Ben and Woods, we have to explain to the people that we answer to why that's relevant.
Yeah.
Because, you know, people just on the surface are going to go, no, we don't care about the minor leagues. Like, we care about the big league team here. And I go, I don't know if that's the case right now with our listeners.
Oh, yeah, there's such a big audience for it. Well, they want to know. If you look at Padres Twitter now, if you're following pretty much the same people, like, it's just a fountain of information about all these different teams all over the country that have to do with the future, you know? And I think people are really responding to it.
Right. Yeah. We're never going to open the show with what did Cal Quantrill do in Double A San Antonio.
Right.
We're going to talk about how crappy Tyson Ross was. Right. But once we start getting into it, I mean, we got 3 hours to go.
Yeah.
Once we start getting into it, people don't care about Clayton Richard. They don't care about Tyson Ross. They care about Mackenzie Gore. They care about Cal Quantrill, Eric Lauer. You know what I mean? Like, those are we're not gonna analyze their games and break down the box scores, but I think it's very valuable to have the guys like Matt Fryers, who are just, the work they do is incredible.
Yeah, it's incredible because they're out covering the UT in this one specific area.
Yeah,
and pretty much out covering anybody in such a specific.
Oh
way.
Yeah,
it's so weird. Yeah,
it's great. Well, and us Padre fans have forced almost to follow this other thing because we're desperate for some good news, so we go and we find what. we're told is coming in the future.
Yeah. Well, to answer your question, I mean, you know, we've already had those conversations. What are we going to do in May? What are we going to do in June and July?
Like, with the World Cup coming, I mean, that's that could be fun.
We'll see. I mean,
no American team in the
right. No American team, that just kills everything from our end on that.
Is there a policy in place? You don't have to answer that. Is there a policy in place though, like for how to cover the LA Chargers training camp when that rolls around?
Not like there's no like overarching company policy. It's show by show, and if you've listened to at least the other two shows, I mean, Darren doesn't really talk Chargers at all.
I know.
Marty
does.
And Darren kind of just laughs it off, and then Scott covers them in the sense that he completely mocks them and just buries them for, you know, whatever amount of time he spends talking about them. For us, look, I mean, we all don't care about the Chargers.
Right.
Yeah. They're gone. They're not, it's almost like they're not even just another team in the NFL, because I'd more likely cover especially the Rams. But I'd more rather cover the Raiders, who are moving to Vegas, the Cardinals, who are 5.5 hours away. They don't really exist anymore. And if they do, it's, oh my God, did you guys see they signed Geno Smith? Yeah. What a terrible.
Geno Smith is going to tear that locker room apart, and it's already happening.
And, you know, we talked about Keenan Allen's tweet.
Yeah, that's the thing.
But literally, anytime the word Chargers are even mentioned, in the back of my head, I go, oh man, I hope we're not, like, killing our show right now.
It's so different than last year, right? Wasn't that a big struggle? We struggled with it on a, you know, once a week level, but, like, should we talk about it? Do people want? I don't know.
Well, there's no denying there's still an audience for
I believe
Chargers
it.
Football,
I mean, you know,
in San Diego.
Whatever.
Jay Posner will remind you 3 times a day.
Yeah.
How good their television.
I mean, there was a couple of people wearing Padres hats and Chargers jerseys at the game last night. I'm like, doesn't feel right, but hey, you're still doing it.
Last year for me, I started the football season, you know, call it August, September, October, somewhere in there, thinking, all right, there's still the majority of the people, maybe they don't know it yet, but they're still going to be interested. They're still going to be tied to the team. And even I had a curiosity factor for those first couple of games. And then, I don't know, call it week 6, 7, 8, somewhere in there, I personally realized I don't care anymore. And I realized the pulse, at least for whatever I saw, could gauge on Twitter and from the listeners and the comments that we'd see, people, it is the minority that care about the Chargers now.
Is it? Yeah.
Like, people are like, I'm turning off your show if you mention the Chargers. And we got enough of those where I go, all right, like, the whole NFL rules all have to talk Chargers. Is it possible that that's changed?
Right.
Like,
it's not true anymore.
I think it's the consistency of just knowing that I know that I can hear some baseball talk and maybe some national stories mixed in, obviously, but, like, it's very reliable what you guys are doing. I believe that. I mean, it's every day. I go to work from about 7:30 to 8:15, dropping off the kid and everything, and we're listening, man. I mean, it's like I can process what happened the night before in the game, and I feel like you hit it about every hour. So it's such a change from, you know, what was in that time slot before.
So thank you for your brutal schedule. We all appreciate
it. Yeah, no problem.
You're sacrificing a life. And right. No, you're not.
And we have our mornings back. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything for you guys. No, it is fun. It's going to get tough. There's no denying it. I mean, hell, we got the draft coming up next week. And
that's an interesting sports story.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, to me, I think it's still fascinating.
Trust me, and I will get the comments and the tweets. Turning the station, they're talking football. It's like, well, look, the NFL, we still have to talk about it. Surely everybody can at least appreciate, you still have to at least mention, oh, the NFL draft is this week. Like, God forbid we get Peter King on, or, you know, one of the NFL guys to talk general draft. We're not going to break down the Chargers third round pick.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, there's Rashad Penny is in town. That's a curious pick right there.
Is he being projected in the first round now? Is that?
I've only heard him late second round a few times. So late second, mid third, somewhere in there, maybe late or early fourth. But, you know, I think the quarterback situation, you got the two guys up in Los Angeles that are attracted, you know, going to be at the top of the line, the draft. You got Josh Allen, who was in the Mountain West, and then guys like Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson, like those are interesting stories. Saquon Barkley is like the best athlete they say has gone into the draft in a long time.
Right.
So there are some interesting storylines, and I think Ben and Woods and myself and Joe, like, we'll be able to at least incorporate those without just sounding like we're suckling at the NFL teat. You know, we're not doing that anymore. It's just we're not going to go there.
Right.
That's great. Going back to the Padres, what do you guys think how this is going to go moving up to the trade deadline? Who do you see emerging as somebody that could be moved?
That's a good question. I wanted it to be Headley, but I don't know if that's going to work. And
no, he got his double last night. Forgiven, right? All's forgiven.
I mean, he honestly, by the time somebody listens to this, he might not be here anymore. I mean, Myers is coming back. They got to make room somewhere.
Yep.
And I think it's kind of the time. It might be time to cut ties with Chase. It's just not working out.
To me, it's worth eating the 13, 14, whatever it is. It's like your team will be better without him. I don't care what the money is. Like,
right. We said heading into the season, the best case scenario for Headley is he's hitting 260 with 12 home runs.
Oh,
you
that'd
know,
be great.
Hitting, heading towards the All-Star break, and we can move him and just get whatever. You know, Brian Mitchell was the whole point of that deal, and
it's a disaster.
There's still a lot of question marks there. He looked better, I'll say,
better, but
yesterday, but
he's working way, way too hard.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hold on a second. Dallas just called back.
Yeah, hi, guys.
Hey, Dallas. we're wrapping up soon.
About that.
Should we trade Chase Headley?
For what? Like a new washing machine?
A new horse.
Yes. You could totally trade him for a horse.
We need more vending machines in the press box. I know you guys just love hearing people talk about the press box.
Oh, the press box. We're doing a show called – we're actually going to start a podcast called Stories from the Press Box.
Love that.
let's talk about the Lake Elsinore Storm press box, because that place –
ooh.
That has chairs.
A lot of drugs.
Yeah, sorry about the mishap there, guys. Just, some kids got into the car, and that'll happen in the mountains. Kids just wander into cars.
Oh, okay. Well, hey.
Dallas, we're used to it after the storm cast. We're used to jumping around, and it's good. It's perfect. You set us up perfectly for it.
That was Dallas McLaughlin. This is the all-time great.
So
Dallas,
I like to set up when this happened. We were doing this, and then we're coming back. Yeah,
your phone started ringing. I look over. I see it's Dallas, and I go, I forgot. Like, we had him on earlier, and then he just kind of left us.
Yeah. This Kept Faith podcast is it's like jazz.
Yes,
and I'm not the first person to say that.
But man, as far as the trade deadline goes, I don't know how active the Padres are going to be moving guys. I just don't know who's. I mean. Brad Hand, are we going to have that conversation again? I know he got off to a little bit of a rough start, but I think Brad Hand will get back to being what we've come to expect.
Yeah, and his
of
contract
Brad Hand.
Is still tradable, which is...
Sure. Somebody will be needing an arm. I don't know if there's anybody in the rotation that could get moved. I mean, maybe Tyson Ross if he has a decent... Hey. Strings together a few decent outings and somebody needs a veteran arm.
Crazier things have happened.
I don't know. I mean, it just...
I mean, he's one of the few guys on our team that does have plate discipline.
Yeah.
He did walk last night, I think, in the 10th.
Even Clayton Richard are our best
Clayton
hitters.
Richard and Tyson Ross.
They're kind of our best hitters.
I trust
hitters
them
right
more than anybody.
Right.
I mean, when you have this many guys batting under 200, the fact that, like, Chase Headley could stick out with a ofer.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable.
Well, one of the most somehow polarizing figures, maybe just in our little community, is Jose Perella. A lot of people think, where are you on Jose?
Oh, man. I think he's still got some work to do. Absolutely. I mean,
he doesn't really have a position.
He doesn't have a spot. He's kind of a floater. I feel similarly about him as I did about Jankowski like 2 years ago.
I get
where
what
I
you
thought
mean,
like Jankowski is like, gosh, he's a guy you don't really want to lose. I mean, he can kind of play anywhere. He's got great speed. Like, if he gets the bat going, he could be a threat, but you're like, where do you put him? Jankowski's not really. When was the last time you even heard his name? Like,
is he on the 40?
Early spring training.
I don't know if he's on the 40 right now.
I don't know.
I can look.
But no, Perella. I mean, Perella just hits line drives all the time.
Yeah,
he's
exciting.
One of the last non-launch angle, but he can't play in the field very well.
Right.
And I mean, it's obvious everywhere he's at. Yeah. Maybe second, his only safe position, but
I'm a Pirelliac. I believe in him.
You do? Well, then what we need to do, if you like him, Nick, is we need to move who I loved at the end of last year, Swahe, because he has become we don't need his defense. We need his bat. And right now, I don't know. That's the only spot for him is second.
Yeah. I mean, you can put, you know, Villanueva's kind of etched his name there at third base. I think we all agree there, at least for now. I mean, again, it's still so early in the season. But you have Spangenberg, who can pretty much play anywhere. He can be your utility guy. If they can put Perella at second, I think that would be good. You know, obviously Galvis is going to be anchoring the infield there short. I love what I've seen from Freddie Galvis this season.
Totally. He's, the one to root for.
A team might come after him for the playoffs. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I was. I thought about him. I mean, he's on a one-year contract. So
yeah, he's a gamer.
He absolutely is a gamer, and I mean, it didn't take long for me to go, I won't be upset if they lock him down long term.
Totally.
Yeah. I mean, anchor that spot. How long has it been since you've had your everyday shortstop? That's huge to have. And then the argument is, well, you got Tatis Jr. coming up. Well, could he not play third?
Yeah, who's our third baseman that we love so much?
I mean,
yeah,
I wouldn't mind putting him at third if he can just shift over. I mean, it's been done before. So if you got him and Galvis
young
there on
the
left side, and then you got, you know, Urias at second and Hosmer at first, that's a pretty solid lineup in about 2 years.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, hey, thanks for coming on, Paul. I mean, you have a podcast with the Sign Guy.
Yeah.
And that's called First Call?
Last Call.
Last Call. Jeez.
Yeah, Last Call. That's through 1090 that we do. It's usually every Monday. I think he died at Coachella, so we didn't do it this week.
Yeah.
Baychella?
Yeah.
I heard Beyonce, yeah. She killed a bunch.
Me. I didn't see any of it.
I
any of the highlights,
seen,
but
I saw a couple people on my Instagram storying it.
Okay.
Shot by shot.
I mean, I just saw like tweets like literally greatest performance she's ever done, like most iconic thing I've ever seen and stuff like that.
Hey,
so we'll see.
She's a national, international treasure.
Yeah. But Last Call, we talk, you know, sports. We talk beer. We bring a craft beer in every episode and split that, you know, the 22-ounce bottle. We split that when it's done. The podcast is done, kind of a thing, and focus on some of the local breweries around and show them some love and then and just talk sports. And right now it's kind of what we're doing here. It's Padres. You know, we just talked about it with radio. Like,
yeah.
What else are we going to talk about right now? Like,
yeah, so the Ben Wood Show is on at 6 a.m. every morning.
Yep.
Yeah, check it out. So when you go, what's your process when you go home right now? Like, how do you?
I took a nap earlier this afternoon, so I kind of caught up. Last night was a late night. Got home from work, got some things done, crashed. I do have work to do for the next morning.
Okay.
You know, little prep work, try to make life easier when I get in at 4 o'clock.
And you have to watch the game.
Right. I usually don't make it past like the sixth inning.
Okay.
Like depending on how tired I am. Right. I mean, there's been times I don't even make it to first pitch. Mm-hmm. Because 7:10, like when I say I go to bed at say 7:30, that means go to bed at 7:30. It means I'm falling asleep probably around 8:39. So there's times I don't have cable in my room. So yeah, there's a lot of times where I'll just wake up and catch the rest of the game on Twitter and see what happened the night before. I mean, I actually, because I just had a late night yesterday, I got in my car at like 11 o'clock and checked my phone. Like, I noticed I haven't gotten the final score notification. Like, oh God, they're still going.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I caught a little bit of that. But yeah, I'll go home tonight. It'll be, probably close to 6:30, 7 o'clock, make some dinner, get some work done, and I'll be out by 9 o'clock, getting ready for that 3 a.m. wake up call.
Wow.
Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, I don't get more than 6 hours of sleep, which I know a lot of people don't get more. They say 8 hours. Do you know anybody that gets 8 hours?
No.
Any adult that gets 8 hours?
No, especially after those last two Padre games, I've not been sleeping well at
right?
all.
I'm up at 4:30 watching truck videos with my kids. So
I saw that. I saw you tweet about
if you
that.
If you need any help, I could DM you.
Yeah, just give me the analysis. I usually just wait for Coach Quintero to post his recap videos.
Yeah,
those are great. But yeah, I saw your tweet. Your kid doesn't like the ads for trucks.
Yeah,
he
gets upset.
Videos.
He watches these truck song videos, and then when they're done and they go to the next one, they show like Toyota truck commercials or whatever, and he gets upset at that because he wants the next video.
Yeah,
he's ruining my life, basically.
Yeah,
but anyways,
yeah, kids make you tired.
Speaking of ruining my, I'm gonna go to the Dodger game right now.
Yeah,
so
have fun. It's a little weird.
Notice I called it the Dodger game. I didn't even think about that.
No, but that's what it is.
The Padres are in town.
It is a Dodger home.
The Dodgers
game.
Featuring the Padres. Yeah. That's great.
but Nick, I can recommend trying a Friar Frank.
I will.
The Padres have turned those around.
Have
so
they?
At least there's that. Yeah. Last year was so bad. My wife wouldn't try one. This year she went for the bratwurst, but I decided, hey, every year I got to at least give it a try because I love ballpark hot dogs. I mean, what is baseball without a good hot dog?
Right.
We're going to have the all-time like hot dog episode.
We need to. But
we talked about
to all listeners
morning,
out there, the hot dogs, you have permission to eat them again. They've made some major improvements. So
okay.
At least the Padres, you know, if they can carry over this improvement mentality onto the field, we are headed in the
They're
right direction.
They're building a winning culture
they
for
are
hot
building
dogs.
All the way from the top to the bottom, hopefully. What
this? Ben Higgins called a hot dog a tube steak today.
That's great. He's not wrong.
I know.
Had to give him a double take. What?
A tube steak.
I mean, we went all cliches because Woods just loses it when we do any sort of radio cliches, you know, tired acts. And so kind of just to get at him because he wasn't there and we knew he was listening, we did a list, Ben's list of, you know, worst Padres losses. And we're like, coming up next, the Mount Rushmore of, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Coming up next, I'm going to tell you what are the
right. We spent at least 4 or 5 minutes on is a hot dog a sandwich, and after about 2 minutes, I go, are we really doing this right now?
Right.
Are we really having this conversation on the air? Oh my God.
Well, thanks for listening to the
Cat Thief
podcast.
It's not a sandwich, by the way. It's not. It is not. I said, I don't trust anybody that calls a hot dog a sandwich.
And if it is a tube steak, do not have it medium rare like a real steak should be.
You're here first. Yes. Paul wants to cut Christian Villanueva. So.
Yes.
That's what he said, right?
And that's the takeaway.
All right. Well, we'll see you next week. Dallas probably have a storm cast, and you can have faith in that.
Is that a new podcast? Is that a new feature?
The Stormcast?
Yeah, it's a new feature.
Yeah, Dallas is doing this. He lives next, pretty close to Lake Elsinore, so he's going to just do like Lake Elsinore check-in every couple weeks, I think. So
yeah. We just got to get him some good in-the-field gear.
Can't let the Mad Friars have all that.
They poached Dallas, huh? Gotcha.
Yeah, they probably will. Good night.
Padres are
ball busters.
Well hit deep right at the fence. It is going in a goal.
High right center field, way back there, way back. They're near, going. It's gone.
Great play off balance, throw to first. They got him. The sensational play by Alan Wiggins.
2-0. High fly ball, well hit right field. Look out, Maldonado at the wall. Terry Kennedy, home run.
Drive to deep right field. If it's fair, the Padres will have the lead. It is.
The show you just heard was part of the Voice of San Diego Podcast Network. To hear other great shows like the Voice of San Diego Podcast, I Made It in San Diego, a show all about the people behind the region's businesses, the award-winning Culture Cast, The Kept Faith, a San Diego sports show, and more, please visit voiceofsandiego.org/podcasts. If you'd like to sponsor any of the podcasts, please email Aaron at voiceofsandiego.org. That's ERIN@VOSD.org.